and always streaming on the Civic Media app.
CBS News special report. Iran has fired rockets into Israel in Jerusalem. The attacks appear to be over for now, but reporter Linda Grandstein in Jerusalem says more missiles may be coming.
We went into the safe room and we waited for about half an hour, which is actually longer than it usually is. And then you get a message on your phone saying that you can leave. But Israel says they think that there's going to be another missile strike tonight.
CBS News military consultant Jeff McCausland says Israel's military is being stretched thin.
Israel has got to also be concerned about the fact they are confronted potentially by a four-front war, a war against Hezbollah in the north, a war with the Houthis in the south, a war still ongoing with Hamas, and now this confrontation.
180 missiles were fired at Israel. CBS News Special Report. I'm Christopher Cruz.
Seth here, host of Over the Back Fence. We're on the air live every Saturday from 11 a.m. to 12 p.m., taking your calls to buy or sell, talk local events, or whatever, only on WFHR.
Civic Media News. I'm Terry Bell. Here's what Wisconsin needs to know. Republican presidential candidate Donald Trump campaigns in Wisconsin today. He speaks in Wanakee this afternoon and Milwaukee tonight. Republicans have been urging Trump to spend some time in Wisconsin's bluest counties. Democrat Kamala Harris stumps in the Fox Valley on Thursday. The people who declare the winners on election night say they plan to be fast, accurate, and transparent. Anna Johnson is Washington Bureau Chief for the Associated Press. She says her organization is in the business of declaring winners, not projecting them.
The only way we declare races, so whether it's a presidential race or it's, you know, state legislative races, is when we are absolutely certain that there is no way that the trailing candidate can overtake the leading candidate.
Johnson speaking with WISN-TV's Up Front. I'm Terry Bell, Civic Media News. Now here's what you need to know closer to home.
For WFHR and WIRI News, I'm Melissa Kay. Following our upcoming meetings in the listening area for Wednesday, October 2nd, in Wood County, the Conservation, Education, and Economic Development Committee will meet at 9 a.m. at the courthouse in Room 114. The Wisconsin Rapid Zoning Board of Appeals meeting will take place at 1 in the council chambers at City Hall. In Portage County, the Stevens Point Joint Review Board will meet at 3 in the City Conference Room on Strong's Avenue. The Public Library Board meeting will begin at 4:30 at the Plover Branch Library. The Park Commission will meet at 6:30 in the Community Room on Michigan Avenue. In Adams County, the Board of Adjustments will meet at 10:30 at the Community Center. The Planning and Zoning Committee will meet at 4 by Zoom. You have three more opportunities to catch Drinking Habits at the Wisconsin Rapids Community Theater. They have shows Thursday and Friday night at 7 and a 2 p.m. matinee on Saturday. And that's what you need to know. I'm Melissa Kay, WFHR and WIRI News.
It's time for the MLB postseason. Hi, I'm Jimmy Cusco with Sports, filling in for Mike Clemens. The Brewers will play the Mets today to open up the best of three wildcard round. Milwaukee enters as the NL Central champion and third seed in the NL. Manager Pat Murphy said the Brewers are young but ready for the postseason.
It's about getting them ready. We're going to face one of the best teams in baseball, whoever it is, with a lot of firepower, with a guy on the mound that's good. You know, you can say, well, he only had 4 days or he only had 3 days. This time of year, you can throw all that stuff out the window. It's about being ready to play, and we're going to play against somebody good. So, you know, buckle your chin strap and let's roll.
First pitch is after 4:30 p.m. The Green Bay Packers will try to bounce back this week as they play the L.A. Rams on Sunday. Kickoff this week against the Rams is after 3 p.m. on Sunday. And Wisconsin football will play in back-to-back 11 a.m. games the next 2 weeks. They host Purdue this Saturday and play at Rutgers next week. Filling in for Mike Clemens, I'm Jimmy Cusco with Civic Media Sports.
Your news, conversations, and a whole lot of fun. It's all on your local Civic Media radio station or the Civic Media app.
Much cooler and crisp today, with high temperatures only scraping 60 degrees. Alongside breezy winds, we'll see a few more clouds filtering in tonight. And the lows crash cold to the upper 30s. Get a little bump in temperatures tomorrow under abundant sunshine and reach 70. I'm meteorologist Brittany Merlot. Right now, it's 62 degrees.
Bringing a house of pain.
Backside pressure, down he goes. Inside the 30-yard line.
To a game day near you.
Picked off by Wisconsin, and the Badgers win it.
That's how you create a program. That's how you create a team.
Join us Saturday. The Badgers return home to face the Boilermakers. Our coverage begins at 9 a.m. on your home for Wisconsin football.
Here on 97.5 FM, 1320 AM, WFHR.
Matt Nair on air.
Dan Schaefer is here from the Recombobulation Area and now Civic Media's new political editor.
Jane, I know you like to talk about our assembly speaker.
Popcorn King, yes, Robin Voss.
So there is a potential outcome with these new maps where Greta Neubauer is the assembly speaker and Robin Voss is the minority leader. How does that sound, Jane?
I feel like my birthday came early.
Matt Nair on air. Weekdays 10 till noon on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app. Jane Mattenair and Greg Bach.
Coming up on the show, former Republican congressman from Illinois, Joe Walsh, will join us. Should be an interesting conversation. He'll be here at 10:30. Don't miss it.
Mattenair on air. Weekday mornings at 10.
You're listening to locally grown radio, WFHR, Rapids' home of Nightlight with Pete Schwabe.
Wisconsin. How y'all doing today? I don't know. It feels it's Tuesday, but it does not feel like a Tuesday to me.
And I've been getting Thursday.
Yeah, I'm getting strong Thursday vibe. Everybody, my name is Maggie Dawn. You are listening to the Maggie Dawn Show here on the Civic Media Radio Network. That other beautiful lady's voice, she's part of our production team, helps us out here on the Maggie Dawn Show. That is producer Jess.
Hey, yo.
If you give us a call or text during the show, feel free to give producer Jess a shout. 855-752-4842. Donald Trump is getting set to speak at one of his, dare I say, infamous rallies in short order here. He's probably going to trot out the same old, but it seems we have a bit of a vice president debate coming up here just tonight, which should be interesting. Yeah. I'm wondering if the former president, now MAGA cult leader, is going to try to do any table setting for the debate this evening. That'll be one to keep a lookout for. Folks, we've got a great show for you this afternoon. We should be joined, hopefully, I've got my fingers crossed, by an author, a reporter, a contributor to Mother Jones Magazine, which is just fabulous. Her name is Kira Butler. She's hoping to join us in this 2 o'clock block here because she wrote an article that blew my hair back. It's called this: to understand J.D. Vance, you need to meet the, quote, Theo bros. And if you're inferring, might these be bro-type dudes that are real big on Christian nationalism and religion and their version of non-debatable theology where potentially women don't play so much of a role, nor does any sort of multicultural America. Then you would definitely be getting what Miss, again, her name is Kira Butler, is laying down. We're hoping she's going to be able to join us in this 2 hour block at 2:30. We're going to have, of course, it's Tuesday. It's Yes, Chef with Adam Pavlak. And since it is the kickoff of the playoffs and football season is underway, we're going to talk to Chef Adam Pavlak about tailgating and tailgating tips and tricks. We're going to want to hear from each and every one of you. What are some of your favorite tailgating hacks? What are your favorite tailgating dishes that might be a little out of the ordinary? That coming up at 2:30. Of course, at top of the hour, it is Maggie and the Millionaires talking money. Today, we're talking about working people, folks that work for a living, with Dr. Heidi Scherholz, one of the country's top labor market economists and president of the Economic Policy Institute. If you feel like you keep working and you're not getting ahead, you're not going to want to miss that episode of Maggie and the Millionaires. That's at 3 o'clock. And the hits keep on coming, everybody. We've got Peter Barca running for Congress, one of my favorite all-time elected officials. Peter is going to join us at 3:30. You know, folks, I talk about David Crowley being one of the most reasonable men in politics. Tom Paulsowitz, two-time congressional candidate. I think you could also count, of course, Governor Evers in that mix. But indeed, Peter Barca is one of the most reasonable men I have ever talked to in politics. I think if you were dropped on planet Earth from Mars and you started talking to Peter, you would have no idea what party he belongs to. That's how reasonable Peter is. Jess, I see you chuckling.
Yep. Oh, yeah. Wisconsin is blessed with a fair number of really reasonable men in politics. We certainly have our fair share of unreasonable men in politics.
Yes.
But we have some good eggs.
We do have some good eggs. Of course, there's very reasonable women in politics as well. But you're going to be joined by Peter this afternoon at 3:30. And at 3:50, we're going to just squeak her in. Her name is Amanda Merquay. She is on the executive committee for the ACLU of Wisconsin. I want to talk to her and get her gut check on all of this crazy election interference from the MAGA cult. Mayor of Wausau, Sheriff of Dodge County, Congressman Tom Tiffany. They all seem to have gone off the deep end. So I can't wait to talk to Amanda about that. So we got a stacked show for you all today. And as we wait for Kiera Butler to join us, it was really this weird symbiotic moment last night as I was preparing to talk with Kiera. And if we can't get her today, we will have her come back. And here's what I mean by that. So Kiera is writing about these Theo bros and this really weird, mostly online, extremely hyper-masculine, anti-woman, anti-inclusive, anti-diversity, retrograde, let's blow the government up and start all over again ideologies that are getting bandied about online. And listen, the roots of this, the seeds were planted many decades ago in the 70s, but this particular virulent strain of Christian nationalism, this hyper-masculine anti-19th Amendment, I'll remind you. And if you don't know what that is, that's the amendment that gave women the right to vote. They actually think that women shouldn't vote, that was a great mistake. It is explicitly talked about by a lot of these Theo bros. This discussion with Kiera coincided, of course, with what I can only call one of the creepiest Elon Musk tweets of all time. And it was just a couple weeks ago. But when Elon Musk responded to Taylor Swift's endorsement of Kamala Harris, I don't know if you all remember this, but it was downright creepy. After Taylor Swift endorsed Kamala Harris, Elon Musk tweeted out, "Fine, Taylor, you win. I will give you a child."
Now, ew!
It's so gross, right? Thank you, producer Jess, part of the Maggie Dawn team here, for saying the ew that we're all thinking. Fine, Taylor, you win. I will give you a child. Beyond the fact that it's really creepy to be talking about impregnating someone you don't know, this very phraseology of a man like giving a woman a child, and that this, of course, is the legitimizing thing for women, which is this massive strain and basically everything that J.D. Vance talks about, it is not a coincidence that Elon Musk, the most online bro of bros, right? Like the king poobah of bros, is kind of part of this whole Theo bro culture. Now, Elon Musk, not a particularly religious dude himself, but this strain, and they do actually call out Taylor Swift specifically and attack her, blaming her for the moral decline of America, the fact that fewer women are getting married, all these kinds of things. By the way, when fewer women are getting married, that also means that fewer men are getting married.
Typically, I mean, statistically.
Right, as fewer women, as if the paucity of guys like Doug Emhoff has nothing to do with the fact that fewer women are getting married. By that, I mean, they have this antiquated notion of the roles of men and women. And Elon Musk has basically put out a lot of this virulent, sexist, misogynistic language before. We saw it again in response to Taylor Swift. To add another log on this weird, coinkydink fire, just last week, the New York Times, this came out on September 23rd, published an article that said this: in a first among Christians, young men are more religious than young women, specifically talking about Gen Zs. You can see sort of how all of this stitches together, right? That there is this particular online, hyper-regressive, Christian nationalist, racist, sexist strain of ultra alt-right extreme Christian nationalism that J.D. Vance is a part of. He's not just a part of it. He's part of the machine that feeds this. And then last night, this happened. Rachel Maddow got on her show and put together one of the most important, historically centered and framed explanations of why J.D. Vance says so many things that make you go, ew. That this is not just part of this Theo bro extreme Christian nationalism. And again, these guys, these Theo bros, they believe that the 19th Amendment, that women voting, that was a mistake. Oh, they also, slavery, maybe not so bad. This is what one of these very famous Theo bros said in his book from 1996 called Southern Slavery as It Was. He argued this, that the master-slave dynamic was, quote, a relationship based on mutual affection and confidence, end quote. And that, quote, there has never been a multiracial society which has existed with such mutual intimacy and harmony in the history of the world as that of the antebellum South. Pro-slavery, anti-women's suffrage, hyper-oppressive. This is the strain. This is the ideological birthplace of J.D. Vance, and Rachel Maddow stitched it all together. I am going to share with you, in case you missed it, because it is so gosh darn important, and it relates to what we are going to talk to Kara Butler about. We'll schedule her back. But you're not going to want to miss this because the historical context here is shocking. And you will not believe what J.D. Vance actually thinks should happen to our Democratic Republic. Don't go anywhere, anybody. I'm Maggie Dawn. You're listening to The Maggie Dawn Show here on the Civic Media Radio Network. Hey, I'm going to keep on running because the winner don't quit on themselves.
You're listening to locally grown radio, WFHR.
When Senator Tammy Baldwin first went to Washington, the big news story was Y2K. And we were partying like it was 1999. Baldwin has been in D.C. for more than 25 years. And after a quarter century, her values are a lot more Washington than Wisconsin. Baldwin supported providing puberty blockers and sex change surgeries to minor children in Wisconsin. And Baldwin supports forcing women's domestic violence shelters in Wisconsin to admit biological men who claim to identify as women, even though domestic violence survivors say it would be traumatic to be forced to sleep in the same shelters as men. Tammy Baldwin, 25 years in Washington, has changed her. And now she's just too extreme for Wisconsin. Senate Leadership Fund paid for and is responsible for the content of this advertising. Not authorized by any candidate or candidates committee. www.senateleadershipfund.org.
Farmers in Wisconsin have always been ahead of the times, and it's no different in the mid-1800s. George Esterly was running a large wheat farm outside of Whitewater, but reaping his crop by hand was back-breaking work. Esterly invented a mechanical harvesting machine and used it in his own fields in 1844. He then won a Chicago Mechanics Gold Medal 4 years later. But was he the first in the country to build a harvesting machine? The answer is coming up. Esterly followed up his win by opening a factory in the Whitewater area, building the harvesting machines and eventually other farm equipment too. By the 1880s, 500 people worked there. So was Esterly the first in the country to build a new mechanical harvesting machine? Yes. This man's early farm invention lives on as a remarkable slice of Wisconsin. I'm Terry Barr.
This is locally grown radio, WFHR.
Broke up the first time, saying this is it, I've had enough, 'cause like we hadn't seen each other in a month when you said you needed space. What? Then you come around again and say, baby, I miss you and I swear I'm
gonna... Oh, welcome back, Wisconsin and beyond, wherever you may be listening from. Welcome. I'm Maggie Dawn. You're listening to the Maggie Dawn Show and a little T-Swift here on the Civic Media Radio Network, only appropriate because this half hour, as Donald Trump rambles on at one of his, I don't even know if we can call them rallies anymore.
I mean, he's not getting anyone energized. And isn't that the point?
There's no energy. It's very low energy.
It's very low energy.
Very low energy. Live fest, cult meeting. I don't know. Like
all better options.
Jess is keeping an ear on things to see if he says anything actually worth talking about. Probably not, because it's Donald Trump and none of it makes any sense anyways. But to get back to what we've been talking about this half hour, coming back to a little T-Swift is nothing if not appropriate, because there has been some incredible reporting and incredible work done on where does J.D. Vance get this crazy stuff from that he says, right? Like the childless cat lady remarks and all of the attendant similar women's places in the home sort of stuff. It doesn't come out of nowhere. There is a particular set of ideas and a group of people that J.D. Vance is riffing off of. And there's basically three groups. The first group that we've been talking about, and again, the author's name is Kira Butler. This was in Mother Jones Magazine just, I think, about a month ago. It's called To Understand J.D. Vance, You Need to Meet the Theo Bros. And some of the guys that I'm talking about during this segment, Douglas Wilson, Joel Webbin, W-E-B-B-O-N, Josh Abitoy, Andrew Eisker, William Wolf, and Brian Sauve. We'll link the Mother Jones article in the show notes. It's these Theo bros, again, basically like pro-slavery. That's a good thing. They do not believe in multiculturalism, like women shouldn't have the right to vote. This is how extreme this stuff is. There's that. Then there are what I'm going to call the billionaire set, the extreme kind of crazy billionaires that J.D. Vance has worked for since the moment he graduated from law school. You might say, Maggie, J.D. Vance is in the Senate. No, no, no. He still works for the billionaire bros. Are you catching a theme here? It's the Theo bros. It's the billionaire bros. The billionaire Peter Thiel gave the single largest campaign contribution in a Senate campaign in the history of the United States to get J.D. Vance elected. And he barely won. So he gets these ideas from guys like Elon Musk and Peter Thiel and these Thiel bros. And let's just say, guys blogging about, you know, getting rid of women's right to vote and waxing nostalgic about the South's time when it enslaved Black people and saying that that was a good thing and it is an exemplar of multiracial relations is not only disgusting and disturbing, it's sick, right? But this is this weird bubble that Vance has been, frankly, getting indoctrinated in. So those are the first two pillars, the Theo bros, the billionaire bros. And there is a third pillar. And this is what Rachel Maddow talked about last night. And it's the blow this country up, burn it to the ground, and start the hell over bros. And by that, ladies and gentlemen, I don't mean by voting. I mean, J.D. Vance is an acolyte and student of one of the most extreme political writers of our time. A guy that if you heard him speak for more than 10 minutes, you'd be like, this guy sounds like he's trying to actually foment an overthrow of the U.S. government. He's actually encouraging people to do this. He's doing the thing that others would call treason. Except, of course, he's not taking any actual steps to do this. He's just feeding it to the guy that's running for vice president. And this third group of what I'm going to call anarchy bros, dictatorship bros, is a guy, it's led by a guy named Curtis Yarvin. His name's Curtis Yarvin. I want you to go look it up. Here is what Curtis Yarvin has talked about. And this stuff is on tape. Rachel Maddow played a bunch of it. He basically has argued, not basically, he has stated that every single governmental employee should be retired, should be forcibly retired, removed from their positions. And that we should then install into these positions, and that is language that J.D. Vance has used, install the right-thinking, aligned, talented Americans that understand what our government should be doing. And then Curtis Yarvin suggested this, that we don't really need a president. What we need is a CEO, and a CEO is a dictator. And he said this, this is a direct quote from Curtis Yarvin. If Americans want a new government, they're going to have to get over their dictator phobia. That is who J.D. Vance is getting his ideas from. Quote, if Americans want a new government, they're going to have to get over their dictator phobia. So to summarize, J.D. Vance is a product of three groups of online bros. The Theo bros, the billionaire bros, and the dictator bros. That's who J.D. Vance is. That's what he wants this country to be. A dictatorship where women don't vote, slavery is reinstated, and we don't have a democracy anymore, folks. We have a state-endorsed religion. And they're going to control every single aspect of your life. It is the opposite of freedom. That's what J.D. Vance wants. And that's who's going to be arguing on the vice presidential debate stage tonight. Wonder how Governor Tim's going to deal with that. Stay tuned, everybody. Cannot wait. We got Yes Chef coming up with Adam Pavlak. We'll talk about tailgating. Don't miss it. Come right back here on the Civic Media Radio Network.
You're listening to locally grown radio, WFHR, home for Matt Nair on Air.
This is your hometown radio, refreshed, keeping you informed, entertained, and connected locally across the Civic Media Network.
World Dairy Expo officially begins today, and because it's a world-class show, some of these cattle coming from outside the United States. I'm Pam Yonke with a quick update on what's happening in food and farming news for a Tuesday. World Dairy Expo has got about 100 head of Canadian cattle that made the trip into Madison for World Dairy Expo, but aside from the long travel days, they also had to go through extensive testing to make sure that cattle would be allowed not only into the United States, but also into Wisconsin. Brian Karskaden is showing dairy cattle with Blondin Farms out of Quebec, and he said the additional testing and additional time for test results has been challenging, but he said they managed to overcome it.
We tried a lot of different angles. I mean, a lot of different phone calls to see if I can circumvent the system somehow, just to even see if the labs would stay open on a weekend here to do the testing. We couldn't get that to work. I tried to get the CFIA government to extend the validity of the test for an extra day, make it 8 days instead of seven. They wouldn't do that. Mm-hmm. So there were a lot of different hoops we had to jump through, a lot of roadblocks along the way. Yeah. But at the end of it all, we need to protect ag industry in both Wisconsin and Canada. Mm-hmm. And so whatever we have to do, we're doing, and we're gonna make it work.
Brian Karskaden with the Blondin Farms out of Quebec, Canada, says aside from all that testing, they have to test again before animals will be allowed back into Canada. That's going to require them to not only conclude World Dairy Expo on Friday, but spend additional days waiting on testing data at the Greene County Fairgrounds in Monroe.
Giving back, it's at the heart of the Wisconsin farmer, and it starts with supporting the backbones of our community. That's why the Wisconsin Soybean Marketing Board invests in soy foam for our firefighters. Soy foam TF1122 is the first and only firefighting foam green screen certified at the gold level. As a PFAS-free firefighting foam, it's safe for you and the environment. A safe future for your community. Thanks to your soy checkoff. Learn more at wisoybean.org.
Pioneer brand Z-Series soybeans have farmers yielding out an additional 2.7 bushels per acre over A-Series. This has everyone talking, not just farmers. Case in point, a trucking company wrote, "Morning, noon, and night, it doesn't matter. I'm hauling Z-Series. The phone doesn't stop ringing. Even my home number, it never stops ringing." Well, it's fair to say Pioneer brand Z-Series soybeans are making quite an impact. Unleash your greatest harvest yet at pioneer.com/new era.
Wisconsin farmers continue to use the warm, dry weather to their advantage. The latest update on our crop progress report shows 67% of our corn silage statewide has already been harvested. 5% of the corn's also been harvested for grain. Soybeans right now, 30% of that crop already taken to the bins. And that's an update on food news for a Tuesday. I'm Pam Yonke.
You can always continue the conversation on social media. Share your thoughts when you find and follow Civic Media on Facebook, X, and Instagram.
Much cooler and crisp today, with high temperatures only scraping 60 degrees. Alongside breezy winds, we'll see a few more clouds filtering in tonight. And the lows crash cold to the upper 30s. Get a little bump in temperatures tomorrow under abundant sunshine and reach 70. I'm meteorologist Brittany Merlot. Right now, it's 62 degrees.
Matt and Air on Air.
Dan Schaefer is here from the Recombobulation Area and now Civic Media's new political editor.
Jane, I know you like to talk about our assembly speaker.
Popcorn King, yes, Robin Voss.
So there is a potential outcome with these new maps where Greta Neubauer is the assembly speaker and Robin Voss is the minority leader. How does that sound, Jane?
I feel like my birthday came early.
Matt and Air on Air, weekdays 10 till noon on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app.
How serious is youth vaping? Irreversible lung damage serious? 1 in 10 kids vape serious? Which warrants a serious conversation from a serious parental figure, like yourself. Not the seriously know-it-all sports dad, or the seriously smart podcaster. It requires a serious conversation that is best had by you. No, seriously, the best person to talk to your child about vaping is you. To start the conversation, visit talkaboutvaping.org. Brought to you by the American Lung Association and the Ad Council.
Pete Schwabba.
On the next Nightlight, Late Show with Stephen Colbert writer and comedian Paul Mercurio joins the show. And in the second hour, Northeast Wisconsin-based comedian Rob Breckenridge joins me in studio.
Nightlight with Pete Schwabba. Weeknights from 6 till 8.
Hey,
Up Wisconsin. Welcome back, everybody. Welcome if you're just joining us. I understand from some of our reporters out in the field that Donald Trump has just concluded his low-energy rambling comments at his most recent rally. And so let's take a little break from politics. It is Tuesday at 2:30, and that means we all get a break from the politics because it's time for Yes, Chef, with Chef Adam Pavlak of Egg and Flour joining me every Tuesday. Welcome back, Chef. Great to have you.
Thanks for having me. It's good to break up the political talk, and I love your new background, too. I'm jealous that I have a door behind me, and you have the city skyline.
I love a little Milltown background. We always love talking to you, Adam, and I thought no better time than to talk with our beautiful listeners about tailgating. We got the kickoff of the Major League Baseball postseason today. I'm super pumped going to the game tomorrow with my dad for his birthday. And of course, it is football season, and we live in the place that is sort of the pinnacle of pinnacles, the birthplace of the epic tailgate. Right? Yes. Many have imitated, but none are Wisconsinites tailgating. We really do set the bar. And I thought what fun it would be to talk with everybody about tailgating. We're going to be joined back on live radio in just 3 or 4 minutes from our special coverage of Donald Trump's remarks. We got folks watching online. So I thought you and I could just kick it off. Do you have a couple of favorite tailgating memories? Because I have one in particular that really sticks out.
I would say one is like a funny one is at, it was Miller Park at the time, but I'm so excited to have, we have all this tailgating, all this food, all this prep. I think there was like 12 or 15 of us. And we're all stoked. We're talking about this. And, of course, the day that we tailgate, what do you think happens? Starts raining. But that did not stop us. We ended up cooking, like, a full-on feast meal. Even had people, like, stopping as they were going in the stadium to stop to see what we were doing. In the middle of the rain, we kept it going. And we actually had more fun than I think I would have had if it wasn't raining.
Yeah, sometimes the inclement weather does bring out the best in the tailgating. Chef Adam, we're going to ask you to call back in. Jess is going to drop the phone number in the chat. We got a little bit of static on your sound. We want to make sure that everybody can hear you plain as day. Folks, while we wait for Adam to rejoin us, I will tell you about one of my most epic, and I will also say challenging, tailgating experiences. For years, there was a group of my friends and I that would go to the Brewers opening day. Now, you're all going to anticipate exactly what I'm going to say here, which is, Maggie, it was probably brutally frigging, mitten-wearing, big wool coat-having cold outside. And indeed, that's what it was. We had to change up our entire plan simply because we weren't sure we were going to be able to, like, keep and maintain briquettes. I can't remember what year it was, producer Jess. I'm going to put it like maybe 10, 12 years ago. If anybody remembers the opening day that I'm talking about, we so often have cold ones, but this one, it was like very cold.
Like your blood's freezing. You can't even move your muscles.
Yes, it was hot toddies and thermoses. Nobody was cracking open any cold ones. It was not what we wanted were any cold beers. But we stood out there in the frigid cold. We had the crock pots and the generators for the chili, of course. And we actually got through that. And I'll tell you, when it is super cold outside and you're tailgating, there is nothing better than that hot toddy or what it's just for me. I don't even know what goes in a hot toddy. It's just my generic term for anything that's like hot tea, honey, and whiskey in it.
I think those are the only key ingredients. We could ask our chef. Our chef is back.
We've got Adam Pavlak back joining us for our 2:30 segment. Yes, Chef, we're talking about tailgating today. what a fun time to be talking about tailgating, kickoff of the postseason for the Brewers, and of course, the beginnings of the NFL season. I was talking about trying to get through a Brewers opening day in just the bitter cold with a bunch of thermoses of boozy hot beverages. You did it in the rain once and persevered through. Folks, if you have had an epic tailgating experience or you've got some tailgating hacks and tips you want to share, 855-752-4842, 855-752-4842. If you're just joining us, welcome back to the Maggie Dawn Show. It's Yes Chef with Adam Pavlock. Adam, so when we think about tailgating, I think the strategy, if you're trying to get food ready for this, is very weather dependent. What do you think?
Yes. Also, if you get one of those tailgate tents, you know, that can save a lot of issues. I always say get like two. You can have one over your cooking devices, whatever you decide to do, and then one over, obviously, everyone has the buffet table, fold-out plastic tables we all know and love. So just be able to be covered and have a little bit of coverage for what you're doing. But, I mean, it's rain or shine, it's happening. You're not going to do all that prep, get all the way down there, and be scared of a little bit of raindrops.
Yeah, and then bail. Well, we're hardy types here in Wisconsin. Folks, again, if you're just joining us after the president's remarks, this is the Maggie Dawn Show. I'm Maggie Dawn. Because it is 2:30 on a Tuesday, we're doing Yes Chef with Chef Adam Pavla. Today's topic is tailgating because it's the kickoff to the MLB postseason. We've got the football season underway. And speaking of football, I have a small bit of business to take care of. Civic Media and as Maggie Dawn, I would like to congratulate Kim from Racine for winning our grand prize in the Go for the Green and Gold Civic Media statewide contest. Kim is going to get a pair of indoor club level tickets to see Green Bay play New Orleans Monday, December 23rd in Green Bay. Congrats to Kim. Folks, if you've got
That's
a tailgating,
a great prize. Congratulations.
Isn't it? Yeah, good for Kim. That's one awesome. Way to not have to tailgate is you
Kim,
got the good club level
I'll
tickets.
Go with you, Kim. Let me know.
Kim and Racine, that's Chef Adam. You want Adam tagging along to your big football outing this late December, you give us a call. Folks, if you've got your tailgating story, a tip for our listeners, give us a call, 855-752-4842, because Wisconsinites, I think the birthplace of the tailgate, if I may say, which I absolutely love. Adam's suggesting you got to go get two things. And I think the second thing that you mentioned almost as important as the first. Of course, the first one is you got to have the tent. The tent is so very important. But the second one is that all-important plastic folding table so you can actually put the spread out there and there's space for everybody's dish, because this is usually a potluck affair, right, Adam?
Yeah, I mean, don't get me wrong. I've done the, you know, grab the meat right off the grill with the bun and just go after it, but that's not an epic tailgate in my world. You know, you got to have the folding table, have everyone throw everything up there. You know, and the coverage, those two things. I know you were talking about thermos with the hot drinks. Another cool thing is if you want to heat up things at home, whether it's a cheese sauce, whether it is even soup, you know, we're in Wisconsin, let's rip some broccoli cheddar soup for the tailgate, or anything hot like chili or something, you can put those in thermoses and keep them warm when you get down there. And then when your hot dog comes off the grill, pop the thermos, dump the chili right on, and you're good to go.
I love the fact that you just invoked the chili dog, which is one of the tailgating hacks that I have always loved. I want a loaded chili dog with tons of raw onions, fresh cheese. Like, I know there's onions already in the chili, but I need more onions on top.
Well, there's a difference between the cooked in onions and then the fresh raw onions.
100% producer Jess. You gotta get that extra bite and tang. Folks, you want to join our conversation or get in your two cents about the best tailgating tactics you know of, 855-75-CIVIC. That's 855-752-4842. So, Adam, when you are contributing to a tailgate, maybe not running it, but if you're contributing to the tailgate, what's your go-to dish?
So obviously, I will always go to a tailgate, no matter what else I'm making with the 8-pack of hot dogs, you know, and then the 6-pack of buns, because they can never like do that right.
No.
You know, you can never get that on points. You either have more buns or more dogs, which is fine. But one thing that I really like to do for a tailgate that steps it up that I think is different is making the Juicy Lucy. So the stuffed cheeseburger is always a great move, and obviously you can put cheese on top. If people don't know, is you make your burger patty, use your thumb, put a hole in there, and stuff so whatever kind of cheese you want, and close it back up and make that beef patty. So when it's cooked, you bite into it, and it's just a great cheesy surprise. And you can put other things in there too.
I love it. So I've got a quick question for you, Adam. I've heard a lot of hubbub these days about a smash burger, and I don't know what that is. I've been putting all kinds of stuff into my burger patties since I was making my burger patty. What the hell is a smash burger, Adam?
Okay, so a smash burger is exactly what they say. You have to do it on, you know, the flat top griddle or Blackstone, you know, something like that. But what it is a way to put the burger down. And some people start, I had the best smash burger of my life 3 days ago. And, you take the burger, whether it's a ball or a patty, put some parchment paper down, and you just take a piece of metal or something flat. They even make smash burger tools for this. And you get it as thin as possible as you can on that grill so that the flat top or the griddle is searing that burger essentially like a steak in a cast iron pan. And it's really nice and thin, gets crispy bits. And when you start seeing that browning around the edges, you flip it over. Some might use like a paint scraper, a really nice sharp spatula. You flip it over, cheese it, and the pros actually put the bun right on top, the top or the bottom. You know, you put the top right on once you flip it, and you put the bottom right on and let that steam kind of get the bun warm, and you have a smash patty. I mean, that's something like Culver's does, or, you know, there's this famous, you know, Shake Shack does theirs as a smash patty. And it just ensures that the whole piece of meat that you're using for your burger gets completely seared and a nice crispy edge to it.
Those are delicious hamburgers. And chipping in from Chippewa Falls, saying that she is a big fan of the smash burger. Here I thought there was some like magic ingredient getting smashed inside. No, it's just literally a burger getting smashed on a griddle by a weight so that it gets crispy and done all the way through.
Well, you want to know the very first smash burger that was ever created, and it is redone amazing at Hamburger America. I was there in New York, like I said, 3 days ago, best smash burger of my life. He actually puts a pile of the thinnest shaved white onions on top of the burger ball while it's on the grill, and he smashes it down all together, and he actually lets those onions and beef cook together. And by the time you flip it and you're ready to go, all those onions are nice and caramelized and crispy, and they're actually cooked right into the burger.
Adam, I'm literally salivating right now because good onions and like
Hamburger America, George.
Oh my God. I'm going to have to buy myself a burger weight, get myself a griddle top for my stove and do that because that sounds so ridiculously good. If you'll remember, Adam, one of our first discussions, I said one of the ingredients that I cannot live without and I would almost put it on cereal is onions. So of course, a smash burger with onions on it is like my nirvana.
Yeah, the smashed onion, and just make sure that those onions are super, super finely, sliced. You know, if you have a mandolin
real thin.
Or something like
I was going to say, I'm going to bust really, out really the mandolin. Everybody,
so are you
that
a
is
fan of the classic like supper club battered onions, the crispy onions, then.
Oh, my goodness. We're going to talk about onion rings with Chef Adam when we get back. It is Tuesday. It is the 2:30 block. And so it is Yes, Chef, with Chef Adam Pawlak. And, of course, me, Maggie Dawn. Join our conversation. We're talking fried onions next. 855-75-CIVIC, 855-752-4842. A little break from the politics sometimes is a good, good thing, just like a fried onion.
Yeah. You're listening to locally grown radio, WFHR, home for the Todd Allball Show.
I don't know about other states, but in Wisconsin, we help our neighbors and love our communities. But California mega millionaire Eric Hovde doesn't seem to get that. Maybe that's why he questioned whether children should be able to stay on their parents' insurance until they're 26. And whether people in nursing homes should be able to vote. Hovde called for raising the retirement age for hardworking Wisconsinites and making obese people pay more for health care. And a Hovde company even spent decades trying to demolish the building housing Madison's oldest family-owned bar, something they finally did this year, shuttering a treasured neighborhood institution for good. That is not how we do things in Wisconsin. And that is why we can't let California mega millionaire Eric Hovde represent us. Paid for by a Better Wisconsin Together Action. ABWT-action.org. Not authorized by any candidate or candidates committee.
Warm the hearts of the Wisconsin Rapids area is back again. Tri-City Services wants to warm the hearts of their neighbors by giving a furnace to a deserving person or family in need. Do you know someone who needs a helping hand as they get their life back on track? A neighbor struggling to keep afloat? Maybe even that someone is you. Then head to calltricity.com before October 18th and nominate them or yourself. The Warm Hearts Committee will select a recipient and Tri-City Services will install a new, safe, and efficient furnace for them completely free of charge. Applications must be received on or before October 18th, as any submitted after will not qualify. Tri-City Services are your heating, cooling, and refrigeration experts in the Wisconsin Rapids and Marshfield areas. With upfront pricing, warranty on repairs, and 24-hour emergency services, they're the experts you call when you're in need. Be a good neighbor and help Tri-City Services warm the hearts of Wisconsin Rapids before October 18th. Head to calltricity.com and learn more today.
Locally grown radio, WFHR.
Birds flying high, you know how I feel. Sun in the sky, you know how I feel. Breeze drifting on by, you know how I feel. It's a new dawn, it's a new day. It's a new life for me, yeah. It's a new dawn, it's a new day. It's a new life for me.
And well, I feel good when I eat, apparently, or need to eat, smash burgers with fried slivered onions on it. Oh, my goodness. Folks, it is the 2:30 block on Tuesday, and so we're talking to Chef Adam Pavlak about whatever occurs to us food related during these segments. Adam, just before the break, you and I were talking about onions, my love of onions, onions on everything. I can't get enough onions. And you asked me about the quintessential fried onion in Wisconsin, and that is the deep fried supper club onion. And Chef Adam, we've been joined by a very special guest, Wisconsin's very own Attorney General Josh Gaul. And I would be remiss if I didn't ask the Attorney General, are you a big fan of the fried onions on the hamburgers?
Ooh, on the burgers, that's a good question. I usually go with, I'm actually a French fries guy, I'll be honest with you. But I, usually if I go onion rings, I want it on the side, but they are good on a burger. It's true.
Yeah, that is a good technique. Chef Adam, I'm going to say thank you to you. We're going to bring you back next week. We're going to dig in more to these great food discussions because I unfortunately am surprised and happy to have the Attorney General here. And I want to ask him a couple of quick questions in advance of the debate tonight. Adam, awesome. Do you mind if I go to the Attorney General, sir?
You go to the Attorney General. I'll get to my smash burgers and we will chat next week.
I can't wait. Thanks so much. That's Chef Adam Pavlak of Egg and Flour that you can find in the Milwaukee neighborhood of the View of the Bay. Thanks so much, Chef Adam. Welcome, Mr. Attorney General. I love doing this because sometimes it's like a box of chocolates. I never know what I'm going to get. And today, I'm so happy to have you join us. There has been so much going on, Josh. An incredible amount of, what I'm going to just label as disturbing conduct by Republicans in this state related to elections. And I wanted to ask you a couple of questions, or maybe just one really big kind of all-encompassing question. Is your office investigating or looking at any of the conduct of the Wausau mayor related to the election drop box, the Dodge County sheriff for these, frankly, bullying emails sent to city clerks that now don't have drop boxes? And last but not least, Representative Tom Tiffany putting out all kinds of lies and misinformation about what are fairly routine errors that are easily corrected and easily checked when we send out absentee ballots to voters. Is your office taking a look at any of that, sir?
Well, first, it's great to be here. Let me say that with respect to specific matters, we don't generally comment on any involvement that the Wisconsin Department of Justice may have. What I can say generally is a few things. First, we take protection of the integrity of our elections incredibly seriously. And the reality is that we have safe and secure elections in Wisconsin. And we know that because our elections have been tested over and over again, whether it was the statewide recount in 2016, the recount of two counties in 2020, the Michael Gableman investigation, which ultimately established nothing of significance, or the attempts to overturn the results, which my administration defended against in 2020, and we won every one of those cases. Consistently, it's been shown that the results reflect the will of the voters. Now, with respect to Representative Tiffany's comments, you know, this is part of a continued effort by him and by a number of other Republicans to sow false distrust in our elections. There was an error made. The clerk reported it. But rather than acknowledging that, Representative Tiffany tried to fan the flames of distrust. One of the Republican state legislators said that we needed to turn the temperature down. So I was glad to see that. But look, the person who is really at the heart of this is Donald Trump. He has promoted conspiracies about not just elections he's lost, but when he lost an Emmy, when he lost the Iowa caucuses, of course, when he lost the 2020 presidential election. He's even claiming that he won the debate that he had with Kamala Harris. And anybody who's seen that debate knows that that's not the case. What it is, you know, Donald Trump has tried relentlessly to project this fundamentally false image about himself, which is that he's a winner and he's strong and he's, you know, willing to have people condemn him. What we saw in the debate with Kamala Harris is that he was not prepared. He took the bait every time, whereas she was presidential. She knew the issues. And now he won't even have another debate with her. So I think she really showed that image that he's trying to project is just not accurate. And the reality is we have safe elections. We will again. And I'm confident that the will of the voters will prevail in November.
I appreciate that, Mr. Attorney General. I mean, in short form, Donald Trump is an unprepared chicken who cannot bear to face the competency, calmness, and conciseness of Vice President Harris. Just this hour, some breaking news, folks, and Mr. Attorney General, I want to get your reaction. Iran has launched a major missile attack on Israel. We have just about 50 seconds left, Mr. Attorney General. When you look at the debate tonight and this new development, what are you looking for these two VP candidates to address very briefly?
Well, we need to see somebody who can be a leader on the international stage. You know, the ongoing war in the Middle East needs to be brought to an end. We need to find a peaceful solution and keep people safe. Kamala Harris has demonstrated the kind of leadership we need to be successful on the international stage. I think we've got from Tim Walston as well.
Thank you so very much. That is Mr. Attorney General Josh Call. I'm Maggie Dawn. Keep it locked. Maggie and the Millionaires are going to talk about what's important to working people in Wisconsin up next on the Civic Media Radio Network.
You're listening to locally grown radio, WFHR, home for Up North News Radio.
Pat Kreitlow. Wednesday morning, author Jennifer Berkshire stops in Wisconsin and other battleground states to organize voter pushback against privatizing education.
Up North News with Pat Kreitlow. Weekday mornings starting at 6.
You're going to need me.
You're going to need us.
All of us.
You're going to need our help with your water.
your air, your food.
You're going to need our determination, our compassion.
You're going to need the next generation of leaders to face the challenges the future will bring.
And we promise we'll be there when you need us.
Today, 4-H is growing the next generation of leaders. Support us at 4-H.org.
Enjoying this local program? Find the complete Civic Media lineup at civicmedia.us or the Civic Media app. This is locally grown radio.
WFHR 1320 AM, W248DE Wisconsin Rapids.
And always streaming on the Civic Media app.
CBN.